In the days after former President George H.W. Bush died, just now a little over a week ago, we heard many stories about him. We heard fond and funny stories told by his family and his friends, his colleagues, some recently, some from a long ago. One of the stories that has stuck with me this past week has been about how President Bush was a lifelong letter writer. About 4 years ago, many of his letters were collected in a book called All the Best. Love that. That's the way I sign a lot of my letters. Letters to his then fiancée, Barbara, now, of course, many years later, was his wife. Letters to his family, his large extended family, to colleagues, and letters to people he never, ever met but had heard about. Most of them are collected now in that book for us to read. It reminded me, that story about President Bush, that my grandmother was a huge letter writer too, way back when. She would get her little typewriter out and her carbon paper, and she would write a letter. And she would send it to one family member on a long list of family members that were attached to that letter. And then that family member would get the letter, and he or she would read it. And then they would add their own news to the letter, and they would send it on to the next family member, who would add his or her own news, and they would send it to the next person on the list, and on down the line, until finally the letter made its way back to my grandmother. By that time, a letter full of all of the most current news of this far-flung family. Some of you are nodding your heads. You probably remember what those letters were called, round robin letters. While many of us here today probably don't write many letters anymore, or maybe never have written a letter, I'll bet that every person here loves to get a newsy letter in the mail, not one from your credit card company, but one from somebody that you've been longing to hear from. Emails are great, but they're not the same thing as a letter. Whenever we begin a reading from one of Paul's letters, it's good to stop and remember that, in fact, these were letters that he had written. These epistles, we call them, that we sandwich in between the psalm and the gospel. Paul and his assistants were travelers. They started new faith communities in areas outside of Jerusalem all the way to Rome, and they filled those faith communities with people who were ready and receptive to hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be curious about the good news promised by God in the resurrection of Jesus, that Christ had been crucified, had died, had been buried, and was risen, was core to Paul's belief. It undergirded all of his work. And he wrote letters to those faith communities that he helped start. Of course, those letters can be really confusing, if not frustrating, to our 21st century understanding. To truly understand those epistles, we have to do our research a little bit. We have to look for clues in those letters about what was going on in the community that Paul is addressing, because we don't have the letters or the messages that the community sent to Paul that he's responding to. If we pushed a little bit further into this letter, right at the beginning of it, to the people in Philippi, in Turkey, the first church that Paul planted in Europe, if we push a little further, we discover that that community had sent a messenger to Paul to find him. And that messenger brought supplies for him, probably some financial resources as well. And there Paul was in prison. So the messenger from Philippi finds Paul in prison, and they spend some time visiting. For we find out later that the messenger got very sick on his way. So he's there for a while. And during their conversations, Paul discovers that there are issues of theology disagreements. and relationships that are being broken in Philippi, that these issues are causing dissension and conflict in this brand new church. And Paul's letter back to them is meant to help this faith community once again find union of purpose and compassion and love for one another once again. So even when Paul's letters can be hard to understand or frustrating, there's always there, I think, an element of deep love, of gentle guidance, and of compassion. For Paul deeply loved these communities of faith that he helped establish. He kept an eye on them. He was always curious about what was going on in them. And he got upset when a congregation went off the rails and went off the road of right relationship. And he urged them to find their unity and purpose again. But at the core of all that he wrote, every time, was a deep message of blessing. He would name the good traits of the people. He would list their strengths and the possibilities for their common life in Jesus Christ. Even as he was teaching or he showed concern, or occasionally as he chastised them, Paul always blessed those he loved, even if he didn't see them every day or even if he never saw them again. He blessed the people. He blessed their efforts, their failings, their successes. He blessed them solely because God blessed them in creation. And what God creates is already holy. In this second week of Advent, I've been wondering and thinking a lot about blessings. It's been said that in the Episcopal Church, we will bless anything and everything. We bless bread and wine, oil and water. We bless couples of all kinds who are in love. We bless our teenagers. We bless our babies. We bless the wisdom keepers among us. We bless the sick, the dying, and the dead. We also bless homes and boats and gardens and memorials. A few weeks ago, we blessed a sign sitting out there in that cold oasis garden right now, honoring our beloved Nick Mezzacapa, and in doing that, we blessed him. We bless labyrinths. We bless new altar linens and kneelers. We bless dogs and cats and birds and gerbils. Earlier this week, I was asked, honored to be asked, to bless a new coffee shop in town as part of a larger group of faith leaders in Rochester who'll be doing that in January. I thought that was a great idea to bless a community center. So of course I'm going to do that. Here's the thing. Anybody can give a blessing. Everybody can give a blessing. Children can give blessings. Our teenagers, any person in any situation in life. Ordinary people can bless ordinary people, can bless ordinary things and ordinary moments in the day. When we stand in those long holiday shopping lines, we can bless the people there with us. Maybe not out loud. People might wonder a little bit about you, but you can send a prayer of blessing. You can bless the child having the tantrum at the airport gate. You can bless that awkward teenager slowly bagging your groceries with the eggs on the bottom. You can bless that officious, busy man who has just cut you off on the sidewalk, not knowing you're there. We bless ordinary people and ordinary things. We don't know what's going on with another person, but they are as ordinary as we are, and we are all on our way somewhere, not knowing what will happen when we get there. We bless the tree heavy with snow that glitters on our cold walk with the dog. The sunset, if we ever finally see one in Rochester, Minnesota. We bless the cardinal and the bare lilac bush in the house next door. God cares about ordinary things, and because God cares, ordinary things and ordinary people are already holy. When we bless, we are participating in God's work, sharing God's inclusive love for all things and people. When we pronounce a blessing, we can see that something or someone that we're blessing from God's perspective of compassion and acceptance. So I wonder what would happen in this second week of Advent if we all wrote a letter to somebody. And I wonder what would happen if we wrote that letter, whether that's pen to paper or typing on your computer, not for an email, but to print it out and send it. What would happen if in that letter you included a blessing? A blessing that could be your naming of something special about that person or writing what you've noticed about them. You could write a letter to somebody who's not with you anymore, putting down what you need to say to them now. You could send a word of gratefulness, a word of forgiveness, or an asking for forgiveness. You could share a memory, or you could just talk about love, a funny story, an invitation to meet. If you'd rather draw, you could send a blessing of a picture. And really, if you can't find a way to send that letter, if that's just one step too far, you don't have to send it. You can send the blessing to the one you're thinking of in a prayer. A letter, whether you send it or not, tells somebody that you're thinking of them. And there's hardly any blessing greater than that. So let us offer a blessing. And then pay attention to what happens in the space between you and that other person. Pay attention to the space between you and creation all around. Amen.